So greetings from Bombay and church in Bombay. Pastor Carl sends greetings and love to all of you. And we're glad to be here for the conference. I'm sure it's going to be a great conference this coming week. So let's pray. God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, the day that you've given us. Your eyes are upon us, Father. Thank you for your word. You esteem it so highly. And this morning, bless us through the Spirit as we listen and preach. Thank you, Jesus. We can trust you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly as not as fools. See, you walk as circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to be a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and winds blew, and beat upon that house. It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and the great was the fall of it. So, Ephesians was saying the days are evil. Walk circumspectly, and be wise, and not as fools. Jesus was comparing two men here in Matthew chapter 7. One is a wise man, and other is a foolish man. The wise man builds his house upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ himself. He is the rock, 1 Corinthians 10:4. And the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Sands are loose particles, and they don't have any substance. They don't give proper foundation. But the rock gives us proper foundation where we can build our house. And he speaks about our life. That a Christian, one who believes in Christ, has to build his house upon the rock. And that house will stand because in our life there may be flood, there will be wind blowing, and there will be rains falling, and it will beat upon the house. It will come against our life. But if we build our house upon Jesus Christ, that house will stay. And he was saying, when Jesus says something, we know he's true. So he says, a man, foolish man, we can be Christian, we can walk as in this world, knowing everything, but we can go to a part which is very foolish, and we can build upon details of life. And in Matthew chapter 13, it says, the sower was sowing the word, and there were four kinds of men. One received the word on the wayside. He was a wayside listener. The second was he didn't have any soil in his heart, and the word was of no use. The third kind of a man, he heard the word, and also everything he received was around through a thorny soil, and it choked the word, was unfruitful. But the fourth kind of man, he received the word on good ground. And the word brought fruit in him, 100-fold, 60, 30. So we are building our house in this life. Everybody is doing something. But we have to build. We cannot say, I'm not going to build. The day when we stop building on Christ, and we have some danger coming against us, and floods may come, we don't know, or something other thing comes in our life. But we build upon Jesus Christ, it's going to stand the test of time. And in Hebrews chapter 11, all the faith heroes had one thing in common. They were all walking by faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, 1, it says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the rhema of God. Then we need purpose in our life. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, Jesus gave us a purpose. It's a redemptive purpose. And also we need grace to stand upon. And John 1:14 to 16, Jesus is grace upon grace. And so we have to build our life on Christ in this world, which is pretty evil. Everywhere we see evil abounds. But if we walk with Christ closely, John 15:5, he said, you cannot do anything without me, because I am the vine, you are a branch, you cannot bear fruit on your own self. But if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And so he's the rock. He's our strength in this world. And if we build on him, we'll stand. We will complete our journey on this earth. And so we will never fall. But if we are foolish, we don't build upon him, there is foolishness. And that house is not going to stand. That life will not stand. And so build your house upon the rock, you know. And it's great to be building upon Christ. He's going to reward us one day on what we do on this earth. But I think it's great to be a Christian. It's great to follow Christ. He is the preeminent one in this world. And thank God that we can build on him. And he has an interest in our life also. He wants us to do it. And he's God. And he's faithful. He'll carry us through. But build your house upon the rock, is Christ himself. Not upon sand, which are details, which are there. But on the rock, which is strength, which will give us strength in this life. Amen.
Pastor Melvin, you spoke about building our house on the rock, and when the storms come, the house stays, it endures the storm. Can you say that? Can you put those words in your mouth? Are they in your heart? Be careful how you build. Can you say that? Can you talk to your neighbor about it for a moment and just say a few sentences to your neighbor or just to yourself and repeat what he said? Right after the service, right outside, is Pastor Gary has set up out there. Anybody interested in the Faith Promise program that we have here for fundraising for U.S. missionaries and others? There's a paper. This is your refrigerator copy. You put it on your refrigerator. That you say, this is between you and God, that you say, God, I know you are interested in mission, and also my life is bigger than just my house and my job and my family, but others, Lord, others. And could you give me $20 a month beyond my budget? Or 30 or 40 or 50 or more? And the Lord can answer you and say, not in these words, but, you know, he could say, go for it. Could I walk on water, Lord? Could you give me every month, like in September, October, November, for 1 year, extra money that just falls from heaven? How about, could you plant a tree in my backyard called the money tree? And could you give me this money every month? And then I will, you know, If that happened, and after I said, thank you for giving me the money, but if you say before, like now, for this coming year, could you give me the money so that I could support missions? And you write up, you make a pledge. You say, I want $20 a month more, or more, $200, whatever it is. That's up to you, and it's your business. And you're saying to the Lord, give it to me. And when he gives you the money, you give it to Greater Grace World Outreach Missions Department. You can designate it for a missionary that you know. You're going to meet them here this coming 2 weeks. Pastor Melvin, and we had some others stand up. Some that are out on the field that have come back hear the stories of what God is doing in the mission field. Hear the stories like we heard in Gujarat, India. Pastor Arpit, about 2 years ago, shared the story of a man who got saved, and that he was a train robber. And he had robbed five trains. This is how he got money. He robbed five trains, was never caught, and never arrested. Never served any time. But after he got saved, Christ came into his heart. He started to evangelize. Since, he's been arrested twice. He's tempted to go back to the... No. Hearing stories, the testimonies of God's work in disciples, what God does in our prayer life, what God does in a marriage, what God does with addictions, how God cares about people, that God is saving people and changing them. And we are building a house on a rock. And I want to share this morning about the house that God has built. And this is from the book of Ephesians. And a few words from Haggai, the prophet Haggai. And I want you to start by thinking about the name of Jesus Christ. So we'll move around a little bit in our Bibles. Turn to Matthew, please, chapter 1. The name Jesus and the house that God has built. We have explained this many times through the years here at Greater Grace, and if you are coming here with any regularity, then you will recognize this simple picture. It's just very fundamental, and it is illustrative. It's just a house with two stories. And life is like the first story. Living in the first story of the house is the natural life of man. In the first story, we have our soul, our body, phenomena, many, on all levels. There is a spiritual reality, there is physical, psychological, relational, we all know. The book of Ecclesiastes is really a look at this life on the first story. And the key word in Ecclesiastes is the word vanity. The meaning of vanity is emptiness. Man has, because of the fall, and he lost God, then he lost the second story of the house. He doesn't live in the second story of the house. God has ordained for man to live in the whole house. But when he sinned, he lost God. When he lost God, he lost his purpose. When he lost his purpose, he is left with questions. Why am I here? Who am I? We have answers like shallow answers, like, where are you going? I'm going to the school. Why, who are you? My name is Tom, or Debbie, or Nancy, or whatever the name is. But those aren't real answers. Where are you going? I'm going to the house. I'm going to the store. I'm going to the Philippines, or I'm going to Asia, or Argentina. Well, why is man left without a real answer to these questions? Because man has sinned and lost God, who designed the man to know God and walk with God. When Jesus came into the world, he was given a very human name. And this is in Matthew 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. In the Old Testament, it's the word Joshua, Moses' successor. It was a common name. Even today, in parts of the world, there are people use the name as a first name. In Mexico, there might be a little boy called Jesus. In the Islamic world, sometimes they use that name, Jesus. It's a name of lowliness, humiliation. It's a name of service. It's a name of meaning to save. In verse 21, where he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter preaching said that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. So we have the second, and I'll put the name up here in the second floor of the house. Christ. Christ was not a proper name used like as Peter or Debbie or Nancy. It is a title. It's a position, a function, Messiah. It's the definition of a service, Christ. The Savior, Jesus, in his humiliation, has been highly exalted and made Christ. When he was on the earth, he was Christ, but he didn't finish his work until he died on the cross and was raised from the dead and seated at the Father's right hand. Now he is called in the epistles. By the way, in the Gospels, we see the word Jesus more often than any other place, but in the epistles, we see the name Jesus Christ. Because he is more than just simply a man humble and humiliated and in the dirt and the hunger and thirst of the first floor, but he's been raised and put at the Father's right hand. And in this sense, he is the key to living life in the whole house. He is like this, in one way of drawing it. What does that mean for us? But that we have received riches in him. And this is in Ephesians chapter 1, if you turn there with me and read verse 7. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, life is changed for us because we now have Christ in our life. Christ has put us in a way, we could draw it this way, we've been baptized into him. We are many members and we are all part of his body. In reality, and I mean in this life, on this side of death, if death is the way we get out of our body and enter into the fuller understanding and reality of his person, we are on this side and we are privileged to be partakers of and experience the reality of this person who is living in the whole house and actually is the house. He said extraordinary things about this transcendental reality. No one has gone up to heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. Christ said, no one has gone up but me, the Son of Man, who is there now as I am on the earth in Israel. I am also in heaven. Another astounding verse. If with my finger I cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. How about this one? Gather in my name. In my name, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I. I am there. Yeah, Lord, I know we will one day be raised. Yeah, but don't you know I am the resurrection and the life? Come on. Right now, live in the whole house. It's yours. It is ours. Because he was not simply Jesus. He was Jesus Christ. He was the one that brought man into the full reality of who God is. If you want to see the Father, don't you know that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father in John 14? Don't you know that I have overcome death in John 5:24? Remember Martha and Mary crying with their lost son, which is totally understandable. And one of the sisters said, we know he will be raised at the last day. And Jesus like shifts to this world that we're talking about right now. Don't you know I am the resurrection and the life? And he that believe, and don't you also know that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Has anybody seen it lately? Have you seen the glory of God? No, I saw my taxi, the dirt, ran out of gas, can't pay my mortgage, struggling with my bills, my wife is angry at me, my children are somehow lost and disinterested. Yeah, that's my world. And God says, that's my world too. Because my name is Jesus. And I know what it is on the first floor of the house. I know everything about it. But I want you to walk with me. I want you to like follow me. I want you to hear me. I want you to understand who I am and what it is that I have done. I want you to be in the spirit. I want your mind to be renewed. I want you to be deeply encouraged. Because any one of us, when we are in the fellowship of the faith, this is the meaning here. Turn to chapter 3, please, of Ephesians, verse 8. Unto me, Paul's saying, who am less than the least of all saints. Look up at our diagram. Let's tuck Paul away in the lowest place we possibly can on our picture. Who are you, Paul? I murdered Christians. Who are you? Arrogant Pharisee, deceived, very upset, constantly troubled by the fact that I have been an enemy of God. When I grew up to be a righteous man, I found that I wasn't. I am the less of the least of all the saints, in verse 8. But God has given me grace. Verse 8. Is this grace given? Unto me. It's like, unto me is this grace given. What kind of grace? That I, verse 8, should preach. I think Paul was always amazed that God could use him. And when Paul preached, somehow there was something more with Paul than just him. Was the anointing of God, the Spirit of God. People connected with God. When they listened to Paul, their spirit fell on people. The Spirit moved. They were anointed of God, and they were beginning to understand what Paul understood. That God did not put us in the world without Jesus Christ. That God did not put us on the first floor of the house just to kind of hack through life. That he gave us his Son so that we would have abundance. Look at verse 8. It says, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I think that could mean that preach what general people generally don't, could never figure it out, never find it. They could never get it. They can't really find it. Yeah, you don't stumble over it in a yard sale. You can't read it in the library or on the internet. You just can't talk to your teacher or priest or pastor and get it. You just can't find it by even browsing through your Bible or looking here and there. It's very elusive. It happens to all of us that we live on the first floor of the house and we don't believe that we could ever find anything more. There are Christians that just say, I already did it, done that, tried it. You know, that's fine. You know, that's a religion. That's fine. I don't even know what all that. But when you and I taste it, we say, I want more. I got it. I want it. I see it. I want it. I want more of it. I want Jesus in my life. I want Christ in my life. I mean, whew, way beyond. Now look at it. It says that. Look at verse 16. That he would grant you. This is the prayer for the church at Greater Grace today here and around the world, and all the brothers and sisters, Baptists, Presbyterians, everybody, whoever is a believer, this is our prayer, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Where are you living? Outer man. But this is his prayer, that we be strengthened in the inner man. That we would get it, like see it. The inner man would be strengthened. Like there'd be this kind of strength in you. I want God. That's that kind of strength. Like I'm after God. God is real for me. That kind of thing. Like I'm seeking, I will find. Oh yeah, I will find. I got that. That happens to us. It's like, do you think that if in the Gospels anybody met Jesus and really met him, that they would go away indifferent? I met him. Yeah, I met you. Yeah, I met him. Yeah. I'm going to go get a sandwich now. That was fine. It was an event. No. Yeah. So, verse 16, 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How is it happening? By faith. You just keep walking by faith. And let me add, do you ever expect anything? Do you ever expect anything from God? Do you ever expect God to quicken you? Do you ever expect liberty, freedom, joy? Do you ever have any expectation that comes from God that you say, I'm believing God and I am serious about it. I expect God to satisfy me. I want to drink richly from that fountain. I want God to show up in my life. I want God to satisfy me deeply. I'm not just believing like the way, you know, we do with our creeds or our doctrines. Yes, I believe that and I go on my merry way. I actually want, I'm saying, not only am I believing it, but I am pursuing it. I want to embrace it. Because look at the next, it says that by faith that we be rooted and grounded in love. I don't know, I just share a testimony here. If I'm here on this first floor as a Christian pastor, do you know how many problems? Do you know how much counsel? Do you know how much discouragement? Do you know how many disappointments you can have with yourself? Do you know how bored you could be with yourself and your life? How tired a person can be? It is no different from anybody else in life. And being a pastor, there's no real magic bullet, no real answer for any of this thing called life except one thing. And it's real. And sometimes you say, I can't speak. I don't even want to speak. But I want to go to God and I want God, please help me. And minister to me and lead me. And sometimes the message that God wants to give to the church is so clearly coming to your heart and your mind that you passionately, you find the Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and you're able to do it. And at the end, you're able to say, thank you, God, that was awesome. Thank you for building us up and edifying us. And that's the real solution. And it doesn't have to be the guy speaking, just you and I sitting in the congregation realize that God has touched us, that Christ has visited his people, that Christ is the head of the church, and that Christ is the ultimate answer for anybody's life, anywhere in the world, under any conditions, because he has built a house that cannot be overcome by anything that this world can throw at it. And our convention theme is called Built on the Rock. The church is built on the rock, which is Christ. The second floor and the first floor, in the sense that the second floor, Christ came into this world as Jesus. And Jesus obeyed the Father in his weakness and in his hunger and thirst and temptations. And God has made him both Lord and Christ. What does this mean? This is the closing part now. What does this mean for us? But he is anointed. In the Old Testament, there were three offices in the government of the Old Testament. There was the king, and he was anointed, 1 Samuel 10:1. There was the priest, Leviticus 8:12. Moses was told by God, anoint the priest, anoint him with the oil and make him special. And the oil went on his ear, on his thumb, the right thumb, and on his right toe. And it was anointed with oil and blood. And this priest, it means that he's set apart by God so that in his ear he would hear God, in his thumb he would work, and it would be God would be with him, and when he walked, God would be with him in his service. Well, this happened to Christ. Christ is a king and also a priest. And Christ's ministry on the earth was amazing. Everything he heard from the Father, Isaiah 50, verse 4, he would wake up morning by morning. God would wake him up morning by morning. And he would learn. He heard as a learned person. He wasn't educated naturally. He learned. He was hearing as if the result was he was highly educated. Like nobody was educated like Christ, because the Father was educating him and he was hearing from the scripture and God was showing him, and he was a man, but he was also Christ. And then prophet, 1 Kings 19, we read the anointing of the prophet. The prophet was anointed. David was these three. In one sense, he was a prophet, David. He was a king. And in one sense, because he sat before the ark, and he wasn't of the Levi tribe, but he was of Judah, but he was able to go before the ark and dance before the ark and serve as a priest. Well, Jesus is the only one in our New Testament, of course, that he was anointed with these three offices. Now, let me explain something to you very simply about this. I'll write it down for you. King, and I'll put over here the will of man. Here, priest, and put over here emotions of man. And put here king, priest, prophet, and put here understanding or mind of man. There are three parts to your soul that are very important: your will, your feelings, and your mind. And when Christ came into the world, he addressed every one of those parts of us that is damaged by our sin. Because of our sin, we are disobedient. But he became obedient, and he can minister to your will and say, I can take your will. I can affect your will. I can influence you. Follow me. You're your decision. But if you follow me, I will show you. I will influence you. I will lead you. And your will become my will. That's a message in itself. We could stop there and preach 30 more minutes on that. That's an amazing consideration for our meditation. What we're saying is that this house here, God has Christ that will influence your life personally in a deep way. And you might say, Pastor, I don't have the strength. And we say, but you have Christ. You say, Pastor, my emotions are, I'm upset and troubled in many ways. Also, I'm guilty for my sin and who I am and so on. And this is my problem. And we say, but you have Christ. You say, yeah, but it's too far away. No. No, it isn't. He came into the world. Look at the cross. He came into the world and says, hello, I have done this so that I would be your minister. Better word, maybe, in our culture. I will be your psychologist. I'll be your counselor. I'll be your doctor. I will be your healer. I will be your guide. I will influence you. Yeah, but can you get really deep in me? Yes. Nobody can get deep in you as I can. For I made you in my image. And when you go back to the primary question, who am I? My name is Tom. When you walk with Christ and you live by faith in him, that answer will get deeper. It'll sound more like, my name is Tom, or my name is Debbie, but I am a child of God. And my name is actually, and listen to this carefully, thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was a joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name. Called by thy name. Yeah, you see, Adam and Eve, they were had two names, right? Adam and Eve. But Genesis 5:2 says, their name was Adam. Their name. There were two, but their name was Adam. Well, look at the picture. That we are in him, we are called by his name. My name is Debbie, but my name is actually, his name is Christ. That I'm called by his name. That God is my Father. And you might say, well, how about it? How does it work? And the answer is, the Anointed One has brought in us a new life where I have my will is affected, my emotions, and my mind. And therefore, then, for me to live is Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. In the life I live now, I live by the faith of who? The Son of God. Even my faith is the faith of the Son of God. The faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now let's finish. Look at chapter 3 in verse 18. That we may be able to comprehend. That's a big word. Comprehend, comprehend, comprehend. With all saints, what is the breadth? How broad? It doesn't give a number. When they built Noah's Ark, they had a number. The tabernacle had numbers. But this portion has no numbers. Because in the second floor of the house, where are really the numbers here? How wide is it? It's as big as God is. Where are the numbers? Where is the limit of his love? Where is the limit of his patience? Where is the limit of God's grace? It is unsearchable. And it's what you have received in him. So then it says that we would comprehend. It takes a spiritual mind to think of no limits, way beyond the stars, way beyond the universe, beyond concept of God is very important. That's why he is invisible. If God was visible, then there would be limits, form, boundaries, shape. He isn't there. He's here, but he's not there. But our God is invisible because there's no way he could ever be in that realm of measurement or breadth and length and depth and height that is spiritual, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now turn to Haggai for 2 minutes, please, and we'll finish. Haggai. We have a convention with a lot of people coming. One of the amazing things about this church, this particular one that we are in, is that through our 50 years ago or so, Pastor started to dream and think what we could do if we believe and follow and trust. And he decided to start a Bible school in 1972. And say to us, let's do something. Let's go with the gospel in the world. Let's study the Bible. Let's know the gospel. Let's bring the message of the finished work. Let's go. And then verse 2 says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." The time has not come that we are going to bring the gospel into the world. The time has not come where we're going to build God's house. But the time has not come where we're going to start a Bible school. But we'll do it later. This is the idea. Later. Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your paneled houses, and this house lie waste?" And that's the thought there. You say, we could say, I believe in missions, but I gotta build my house now. I believe in the church, but I got to raise my family now. I believe in all that. I know that. I believe that that is true, but I have my profession now, my relationships with people now that are important to me, my life. How about discovering myself? Okay, I believe in that. We'll do that later, but right now I got to find myself and discover myself. And that's how we are as people. But then he says in verse 5, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink." This is another message. That's a powerful word right there. And let's just say it this way. The first floor of the house, this way of life that we all live in, God says, hold it, stop, consider your ways. How are you doing? How are you doing? And we say, I am empty, I am needy, I am not satisfied, I am drinking but not filled, I am eating but not satisfied, I am building my family, but something is missing. I have my marriage and my family, my kids and my job, my car, my things, but I have a spiritual hunger. I don't know where to get it. I don't know how to find it. And God says, good, stop. Hold it. Stop your life right now and consider your ways. God, something is missing. And what does he say? Build now my house. Build now my house. Stop. Prioritize. Change it. Seek me. You will find me. There are too many of us that can live on the first floor. Years go by. Years go by. And that's it. We got a picnic, a new car, a life, maybe. We watch some movies or whatever it is that we live, and it goes on and on and on. And the Lord is saying, hey, I got something better for you. The breadth and the length and the height and the depth is amazing. I gave you Jesus Christ so that you can live in him. Not just simply later when you go to heaven, but now in this lifetime. And you'll be satisfied. There's a lot to say about it. But that's enough. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we have seen people drift off because their walk with you is not satisfying. And we say, please don't do that. Consider your ways. Stop. Seek him. Trust him. Humble ourselves before God. Seek him and we'll find him. Yes, we will. God is not against us. God is for us. God will fill us, satisfy us deeply in our hearts and our minds. Help us in this world that he put us in. Everything is okay in my Father's house. Everything is okay in Christ. But in our feet, our shoes, in our dirty life, we got stuff. But Jesus came for this, to take care of us, clean us up, satisfy, enlighten our mind. May we would comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth. Yes. Father, bless our convention deeply. Everyone coming on the property. Everything we do with quietness and confidence and deep understanding in our hearts and satisfaction. This is not a social club. This is a spiritual house that God has built. Our lives, we learn how to discern between the vile and the holy. We learn about words. We learn about heart and attitude. We learn about the Holy Spirit and other spirits that are in this world that are unclean and strange and ungodly and seductive and weird. And we walk carefully, circumspectly with God. Thank you, Lord. We want the house to be full. We have many empty chairs. Some are in Marlboro, some in Federal Hill, some are other places, Havre de Grace and so on. But we want this house full, Lord. Please fill the house for the sake of touching hearts, ministering to people, and saving them. We must gather together or else we scatter. We must gather often and comprehend these things that help us in our lives. Many expressions. Thank you, Lord. You're here today and you don't have Jesus in your life. Now's the time. Don't put it off. Don't wait until you get better. You're not going to get better. Don't wait until tomorrow. You know, tomorrow might not come. Don't wait until you get everything set up and everything cleaned up. No, come now. He will clean you. He will save you. And repent and turn away and live in faith and just say, I want Christ. I'm going to believe in him. In my heart, personally, and say, Jesus, I believe in you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Anyone raise your hand, please? Anyone at all? I could ask Pastor Brian Coelho, could you come up and do the benediction, Pastor? Would you all stand with me, please?